Hey friends, you know what's right around the corner? Ash Wednesday. And you know what happens to so many of us every year? We get to Ash Wednesday and think, shoot, what should I give up for Lent? Or what should I be praying with? I don't have a plan. I have not had time to think about it. I have personally been there so many times before, and I end up giving up chocolate year after year and saying that I'm just going to pray more, but then I end up forgetting because I didn't put together a plan. So this year I have the solution just for you. I wrote an incredible Lenten devotional called Pierced. It's about the overflow mercy Jesus has for us. I wrote Pierced to help you meditate on the wounds of Jesus, Pierced for you to enter more fully into his passion and experience the oceans of mercy that he just pours out for you on the cross. This devotional draws your gaze towards Jesus in his passion, inviting you to enter into his wounds, to place your own brokenness there, and to allow his mercy to truly transform and begin to heal you. This devotional includes weekly fasts, daily prayer prompts that rotate from personal reflections or journal questions, saint stories, Lectio Divina, and so much more. Pierced, along with our full Lent collection, is available now at westcoastcatholic.co and is selling fast. Already half our stock is out, and we just launched it a few days ago. So go ahead and check it out on the website, and make sure that you check out the bundles as well. You can bundle our devotional with our other Lent prayer tools to deepen your intimacy with Christ this Lent. I'm just so thrilled to journey with you through these 40 days, and I'll be praying for each of you in a special way this season. Click the link in the show notes to check it all out.
Hey, I'm your host, Mari Wagner, and you're listening to the Ever Be Podcast, where faith meets lifestyle. I'm so excited you're here. Whether you're a new listener or a longtime follower, I know there's something here for you. Pull up a chair and listen in for insightful, real-life conversations and actionable steps on how to claim the full life God created you for. If you're a woman desiring to live a Christ-centered life in today's modern world, then this is for you. Welcome to Ever Be.
Welcome back to Ever Be, everybody. Today we have Avery on the podcast, and we're going to get into all things wedding planning, specifically planning a Catholic wedding, because I know a lot of you gals really are excited about bringing the faith into your big day in some way. And so we're going to get into all the things. Avery, you can go ahead and say hi to our listeners. Hey.
I'm Avery. I'm the owner and lead planner at Cana Wedding Co.
Amazing. Which, by the way, if you don't follow her on Instagram, she has a gorgeous feed, and it's just everything she posts is so aesthetic and so beautiful to see. So definitely a follow that you should go do. But let's get into our Ever Be moments first before we dive into the discussion of wedding planning and everything. So Ever Be Moments is a segment where we get to glorify God. It comes from this song called Ever Be, where it says, "May the Lord's praise ever be on my lips." And so this is a time for us to just share how God's working in our life. So do you have an Ever Be moment lately in your life that you want to share?
I would love to. I guess it was like 2 weeks ago now, we were getting a big snowstorm here on the East Coast. There's still ice outside from it. But we ended up going to a Saturday night vigil mass that we don't typically do. We have two little kids, my husband and I. And so the evening slot is not typically our best time slot, but we were supposed to be getting like a foot of snow between, you know, Saturday night and Sunday morning. And so we ended up going to a different church than we typically go to. We were a little flustered getting in the door. We're in the newborn days with my daughter. So we're in it. It's great. But, you know, we pulled up and realized she like needed a diaper change and she had to eat that instant and, you know, the joys. But we got in the door and I thought it was so funny. I was like very flustered getting in, like I was just saying, but we got in the door and I felt such a like peace and a joy. And it was so funny. I'm like, you know, waiting in line for the restroom stall to like change her diaper and all these things. And I realized that the last time I'd been at that church was actually for a client's wedding. And I was like 7 weeks pregnant with our daughter. And at the time I was having a really rough pregnancy. I had like a lot of health issues going on. No one could really figure out what it was. And it was a lot of just like, okay, well, you're only like 7 weeks pregnant, so we just have to like wait and see. And they were throwing around lots of scary terms and crazy things. And we were just in like a deep season of like surrendering our family to whatever the Lord's plan was. And so like last time I was there, it was literally, you know, I was at the doctor the morning of their church rehearsal, and then went up and had their wedding. It was lovely and beautiful, but there was so much chaos going on in our lives. And then we were like there with her, and like she's happy and healthy, and it was just like such a beautiful like full circle moment, especially because we don't go to this church often. And yeah, it was just like so lovely and such a like testament to like the Lord's faithfulness for our family too. So it was lovely. Yeah.
That is so beautiful. I bet. Yeah. Having that realization when you were back in that church was just like such a gift to be like, wow. Yeah. Like I'm in the throes of it, but like she's here, she's healthy. We're good. Like we made it. Like, thank you, Jesus.
It was so lovely. Yeah.
So good. Okay. Well, my ever be moment, I last weekend spent the weekend at a girls' like weekend up in the mountains. We did a cabin crafting weekend. So we just like all brought a craft and hung out and had girl time. But everybody is Catholic or Christian, and we prayed a rosary together. And one of the gals recommended that we pray a rosary without distractions, which I had never heard of. It's like a specific type of rosary. And basically, it walks you through the whole mystery, like line by line, so that you can actually meditate with the mystery throughout the entire decade instead of just say it at the beginning. And I mean, I experienced this so much. I feel like a lot of us do, where we just kind of like forget to keep meditating on the mystery, or like it's hard to do that while you're in the middle of all the Hail Marys. So you would say Hail Mary in the decade, and she would say like one line, and there's like it's all written like online. So she would say like one line that like builds upon each other and builds upon the story of that mystery, which was so beautiful. And I definitely want to pray it again. So
it's so funny you mentioned that, because I saw you post that on Instagram and literally opened the link and texted it to my husband. And I was like, we need to do this. Like, this is something I need for my faith life, especially like I was saying, I'm in like newborn days. So my brain is like barely functioning half the time. And it's just so funny you like mention it again. And I'm like, yes, I need to do that too. I definitely need to do it.
Yeah, do it. And then after you do it, DM me. Tell me what your experience was, because I definitely want to like do it again. It's so good. All right, let's dive into our questions. So you mentioned that you're the owner of Cana Wedding Co., which is a wedding planning business. Tell us a little bit, just how did that even come to be? How did you get started? Where did this desire to serve in this way come?
I actually started when I was a freshman in college. I went to Catholic University and was in DC wedding world, which was so fun. But I was definitely, you know, I started interning like as a fun weekend college job. But I was in secular wedding world. So I saw a lot of the like, okay, we want to have a 5-minute ceremony and then just like party really hard with our friends, which so fair. We love a good party. But at the time I had just met my now husband and was thinking about like, okay, well, like if we were to get married one day, like I would love to have somebody who understands like, you know, a wedding as a sacrament at a deeper level, and was thinking about just kind of like what I would want out of a wedding planner, coordinator, whatever that might be. And that didn't really exist at the time. So this was in like 2019. And so there were like, I think two gals who were doing it, and it just wasn't a big thing. And so I kind of like kept it in the back of my mind, kept working in secular wedding world. And then going into my senior year of college, I had one semester left. And I was like, I'm just going to try and like do this. And like, worst case scenario, like I spent a couple hours doing it as like a fun little senior project. And like,
yeah,
if the Lord is, you know, wants this to be a thing, then it will. I spent a lot of my senior year of college just doing like the hard groundwork, like getting all of the business logistics together. And in the back of my mind, I was always hoping, you know, I could like graduate and start a full-time job, and then, you know, in the years to come, like get married and have kids, and this could be like my mom job. And so I put in a lot of that like initial work, and here we are now, and like that's actually what I do, and it's so crazy. I spend, you know, a lot of my days with my kids, and then our clients are also, you know, like young working adults who have 9-to-5 jobs, so I meet with most of them like after 5 o'clock anyways. So my husband gets home and he gets time with the kids, and I pop upstairs and do my Zoom calls and all the things. But yeah, that's kind of where everything started. I realized we're almost 5 years in July, which seems crazy. But yeah, so I have like, you know, myself, I have another lead planner that works with me as well. Her name's Bernadette. She's like salt of the earth, best human ever. and we adore her. And then we have a couple, you know, Catholic women who are like assistants and help us out on day of. And really our goal is just to like help Catholic couples have their wedding without all of the extra stress of having like a large event. So a lot of times we talk about that, you know, obviously the sacrament's the most important part, but that can get skewed so quickly when you see like, oh my gosh, I need vendors and I have all these to-dos and like all these things coming up. So our goal, especially if we're doing like a more involved planning process, is to really take that off your hands. And then, you know, for our gals and our couples who are coordination clients for us, we step in like 2 months before the wedding and we get all of the information from them so that they can really enjoy it, especially like the last month before they get married, but like wedding weekend especially. Right. Like you don't need to think about anything.
Yes.
Go have fun, enjoy, be present, and like we'll handle the behind the scenes. Yeah. So that's kind of who we are and what we do. Yeah.
Amazing. Thank you for that. And I love how you, I mean, you already touched on what I want to jump in next about how like there's so much that happens around wedding planning. And as Catholic couples, we can easily overlook the mass and even just overlook the sacrament that this like mass is, right? The sacrament that marriage brings when you are up there on the altar saying yes, because there's so many details in the wedding planning process for the party afterwards, the reception that like take up so much of your time, and you work in this every single day. So how do you help keep that focus on marriage as a sacrament and keep that focus on the mass as well, and not just as an event or focus on just the reception?
Yeah, I think really my goal is to like worry about the reception for any given couple. So like I want to take all of the to-do list and all the little things and like the signage and all of the fun stuff, but like required things, and make sure that they're taken care of and it's not something that they, you know, are thinking about while they're up on the altar. Like, oh, I wonder if Aunt Sally is like setting up the reception like I asked her to. Like, I don't want you to be thinking about that. I don't want your family members to be thinking about that. Like, they should be able to be present with you guys too. But I think something that comes up a lot in my work is like, I'm also able to help couples remember that that's the focus as much as like, you know, subconsciously, we know that that's the focus. We know that that's like what the wedding is all about. But there's so many other things going on, like you were saying, that you can get distracted so easily and really like not even realize that you've kind of like shifted your focus. And so I'm able to like, you know, be another voice being like, okay, like, let's, you know, get back to what everything's really about and like stay rooted in the sacrament. One thing I really encourage couples to do as well. I know a lot of them have, you know, some sort of like pre-cana or marriage prep with their priest or their diocese or whatever that might be. But I try and intentionally remind them to like pursue a spiritually like enriching engagement period. My husband and I found, we live in the Diocese of Wilmington, Delaware. She's a tiny little thing. It's its own thing. But we didn't have like an in-depth marriage prep experience. We met with our priest 3 times and did like an online, like, what are the 7 sacraments? Like, it was just not, we both went to Catholic school our whole lives. We were like, I knew all of this when I was 12. Like, this is a little ridiculous. Mm-hmm. But that's something that a lot of couples do, like have a similar experience, and they aren't, you know, in like the Diocese of Arlington, which is so built out and beautiful and amazing. And we like, love that around here. I love that for our couples who are living there. But it's something that if it's not being provided to you already, I really try and like push them to pursue that on their own. And know that like, you know, just reading some Fulton Sheen will get you far. It will help you so much in your marriage prep. And really like as much as this is, you know, planning a big event, this is also like your practice for the rest of your lives as husband and wife. And a lot of times I work really closely with brides and not as much grooms, but I try to really encourage them to do everything together and just to like continually come back to each other. Like there's so many voices, so many, you know, people who want to support you, and it's lovely and it's amazing, but like this is your sacrament. This is your wedding. Let's make sure that, you know, your maid of honor doesn't know more about it than your groom does, that kind of a thing, which is, you know, probably a hot take. But I, you know, I've seen grooms walk in and be like, oh, wow, this looks great. And I'm like, you had no idea, like, any of this. This is like hundreds of hours of work, honey. Like, this didn't just like magically appear. Like, this is what. Exactly. So just doing everything like as a couple, really just like helping to practice for being married too, I think is really important in all of the fun that it is too. And then yeah, just keeping your faith as at the forefront of like each part of the wedding day too, I think is really helpful. Like we have a lot of couples who will like say a rosary in the morning, whether that's like the two of them together before they get ready, or if it's like the bride and all of her bridesmaids, like just kind of keeping yourself rooted in that even on the actual day. Like obviously you have the mass, but like continually kind of like keeping that at the forefront of your minds and all of your guests' minds makes such a big difference.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think when it comes to planning too, I just remember like I didn't realize that you could really be so intentional about planning your mass because the church already gives us options for what readings to pick from and, you know, what psalms, like all that. Like you just kind of pick from a set number of options. So I thought it was just going to be like quick and easy, open up the little book, let's see what's there, pick it and go. And then Trina was like, no, I really want to like let's like pray Lectio Divina with like each one of these and like see like which one comes up. Like, let's like use this actually to be like, what does the Lord want to say through our wedding mass? And so we actually dove super deep into like the reasons why we picked every single reading, and we prayed with every single one and picked the ones that we thought would represent our marriage and what we wanted our marriage to be like. And then with the songs and the music too, I was very specific about what songs I wanted and what style and everything. And everybody probably thinks this about their wedding, but like people were just like, that is like one of the most beautiful wedding masses like we have been to. So my encouragement is like really dive into that wedding mass planning. Don't leave it as like the last minute thing, and take time to truly like pray with the different parts of the mass and engage in those different reading options that you have, because it can make a big difference. And the mass ended up being like one of my favorite parts of the day.
No, me too. And I remember even after my own wedding, we like had our priest add in some incense and we like said the St. Michael prayer at the end of mass and like a couple little things that you like can technically add into a mass are just things that you have to like ask about. Like that's one of the things that I tell couples a lot too, is like, don't be afraid to just ask. The worst thing that could happen is they will tell you no. Like, ask and see, you know. This is like the one time you get to really like create how a mass is going to look and like reflect your relationship and your brand new marriage. Like, go for it. Worst thing that happens is father says no and you're like, okay, that's fine.
Yeah, totally. Another thing too, I was going to say, because I totally agree with you on the marriage prep thing. Like, I think a lot of dioceses are really lacking in really solid marriage prep. We also did not have a good marriage prep experience. I think we met with our priest twice and then COVID hit and he was like, go ahead. And we were like, okay. And so I really recommend Better Together. It's a marriage prep program that I think it's Dynamic Catholic. And they had all these different Catholic couples, just like kind of in the Catholic speaking world, come together and help build this marriage prep program. And I thought it was really good, fostered some really good conversations, good formation. So that, I think. And then there's one on Formed, which is called Beloved, maybe. So. That one was good too, had good questions. That's So let's talk about engagement, because I know when I was engaged, I had a picture perfect picture in my mind of what I thought engagement was going to be like. And I think, yes, at its core, it should be joyful and good and beautiful. But I myself and a lot of other couples I've talked to have experienced the hardship in that as well. And a lot of them have described it as stressful or overwhelming, just not what they thought it would look like. Why do you think that is? And how can engaged couples protect their peace and their unity when planning starts to really feel intense?
Yeah, I think there's a couple pieces. So I think one is like, I was kind of mentioning earlier, you're practicing being a couple and making decisions together for the first time, which can be a little uncomfortable. I know that that might sound crazy because you're so excited to like spend your life with this person, but especially like myself and my husband, as we were making our decisions, we're both very like type A, want to know the plan. And so learning to make decisions together was definitely a little bit of a learning curve. And you're balancing like finances, you're talking about money a lot, and you're, you know, dealing with family expectations and opinions and like trying to do things together for the first time. And it does take some practice. And I think that that's something that's really beautiful. And it, as much as it's like stressful in the moment, it helps you in the long run. So don't be like too afraid of those, you know, more uncomfortable situations, like work through them together as a team. There is definitely like a piece of a lot of couples experience a little spiritual warfare in their engagement process. And I know that's like, you know, a hot topic among a lot of Catholic circles and things. But just, you know, a lot of times just like I encourage couples just to like zoom out and just like take a second, take a break from whatever is causing you all this stress and just like breathe, have a conversation with your soon to be spouse and like, you know, take it a step back and, you know, kind of have a reset for a minute, because we can get so like deep into, especially, you know, the extra reception things and all of that, and looking back and being like, okay, our mass is like set and it's going to be beautiful, and the rest of the wedding is like kind of extra. And as much as we want it to be beautiful, like once you're married. And, you know, my husband and I joked, like it ended up raining like a monsoon on our wedding day. And we were like, ultimately, like once we're married, I don't really care, whatever. Like we could just cancel the reception. I'll be fine. Yeah. Like you get to that point. But yeah, I think that's a big piece of it. And, you know, ultimately there is just like an extra, I feel like added pressure to perform in our society where we have, you know, like a bazillion pieces on TikTok and Instagram about your bridal era and like all of the things. And I feel like that can really just like fuzzy our view and focus of the day and add additional stress in places that we don't necessarily need it. Like, it's really going to be okay. And that's something that I encourage couples to really, again, like zoom out, focus on the mass, focus on, you know, what your priorities are. That's something we work through a lot of times too, is like, let's pick a couple areas that you really care about, where you want to spend your money. If photography is incredibly important to you, let's allocate your budget accordingly. The rest of the things, like you can play with and make it work. So that's just another like more practical piece, is just to list out those priorities and kind of like assign your time and your money accordingly. But ultimately it is supposed to be fun. And if it's feeling like it's not fun, that's when I say like, take a step back, take a breath, get off your phone. My goodness, get off your phone, put it in like another room and just kind of like take a reset. Yeah.
I love that. And I loved your advice about like zoom out and come back to each other and remember, like, why are we even doing this, right? Like, we want to get married at the end of the day. We just care about our marriage. And yes, we want all the wedding day things to be absolutely spectacular, and they will, right? But if we lose sight of why we're doing it, it's going to get harder. So I think that while we were engaged, we planned a few date nights where, like, we told each other, like, we're not allowed to talk about wedding planning. Like, we're going to invest in our relationship and just talk about different things and kind of just re-spark that love that we have for each other, aside from being like wedding planners together.
Truly, truly.
So for a bride who's just gotten engaged, what do you want her to know before she even starts planning anything?
So I kind of mentioned this earlier, but I scream from the rooftops that your fiancé is supposed to be your biggest supporter in this season of life. And as much as there's lots of decisions to be made and it's so exciting and it's really fun and a lot of other people in your life want to support you in this season, you need to have your fiance at top of mind all the time. You need to have conversations with him or her first. You know, I remember being engaged and people like 24 hours after we got engaged being like, okay, so when are you getting married? And we were like, haha, like I haven't even had time to call the priest yet. Like, do you expect that I just like magically make this happen? You know, and as much as people are like so supportive and so lovely and want the best for you in that way, you know, I think it's really important that you and your fiance have conversations together first and foremost. If like questions keep coming up and you're like, you know what, I don't really know what he thinks about this topic, like know that it's okay to say like, oh, we're still trying to figure that out, and take it back to and then, your, you know, soon to be spouse and really discuss it together first, because it can get a little difficult if you guys have a difference of opinion.
Are you trying to decide what to give up for Lent? Let this be your sign to join the Crux Lenten Challenge in the Ascension app. From Ash Wednesday to Easter Sunday, Father Columba Jordan will guide you through four simple daily challenges in scripture, prayer, exercise, and fasting. But don't worry, the Crux isn't literally just about starving yourself or lifting huge weights. It's actually just about encountering your weakness and the God who meets you there, while Father Columba helps you learn how to surrender your life more fully to him. To join, just download the Ascension app and get the free Crux action plan at ascensionpress.com/crux. If you're tired of scrolling through media that feels fake, goes against your values, or just feels like it's trying to sell you something, then I want to tell you about Verily. Verily cuts through the noise to elevate what's honest, real, and beautiful for the modern woman. They're the original no Photoshop, AI model-free women's magazine, which I love, and they're committed to pushing back against the objectification of women. In both their digital content and their seasonal print magazine, Verily features fashion that's worthy of the women who wear and make it. Thoughtful writing on relationships and journalism that actually embraces nuance. When you become a member, you're not just getting great content, you're joining a community that's working to change women's media for the better. And if you ask me, I think 2026, we're going back to analog. So get yourself a magazine subscription. If that sounds like your kind of thing, you can join at verilymag.com/membership. Their latest magazine, The Courage Issue, is out now.
And then you have like parents involved who are trying to give their opinion, and then it turns into like, oh, well, this team wants this, mm-hmm. this team wants that, and it's like, not, you don't want to at least start things there too, especially in the early days. And then the other piece of it is, you know, a lot of times the beginning is the hardest part. I don't know about how your, you know, wedding planning process was, but we have lovely church ladies who like to, you know, keep the wedding calendar. And you may need to meet with a priest mm-hmm. first. You may need to come and do a bazillion to-do list items before you can reserve a date. It's yeah. a lot.
So true.
And within that, I know a lot of times you're also trying to find a venue that can accommodate the same date, which is hard. I remember literally being in tears over it because I was like, this is so hard. And why is it this hard? Like, this is yeah. ridiculous. Yeah. Now that lasts for like a week or two, and once you get the calendars and you see when people are open, like, it really gets better, I promise. I think it discourages a lot of couples early on being like, oh my gosh, why is this so hard so early on? But once you get that date set with both, you're in a much better place. And then you can really start to do like the fun vendor process and all of that. But
yeah,
you know, stay strong in the first couple weeks. Just know that it's a process, but you'll get there.
I feel like I agree with that. I think like it was frustrating a little bit at first to go back and forth for a couple weeks for us. Like, I think it took us like about a month to finalize our actual date because we were going back and forth with like families and schedules and like, this is what we want. This is what works for family. We also were in, I had just graduated from college and Trey was a year below me. So he was graduating early, but all his friends were still in college. And so half of our bridal party was still in college. And so we had to like line it up with like some like spring break or whatever. And yeah, then the churches and the venue and making sure everything we wanted was on the same day. So yeah, that scheduling period is a little bit stressful, but once that's done, it's like, you can get into the fun stuff. So for somebody who is just getting started, in your opinion, what are the most important parts of the wedding planning process that you feel like brides should focus on early on?
Yeah, I think there's a couple pieces that goes into those like early days. So the most important information, like, people are going to want to know, if we're talking about venue or church or whatever that might be, they're going to want to mm-hmm. know like your guest count, how many people you're envisioning. With that, I always say to like actually go through and write down a list of like the actual names, because you might in your head think, oh, we only have 100 people, and then you write them all out and it's like 180 and you're like, oh wait, that's different than what I thought. So go ahead and write out all of your like must have people even, and go through that. So think about what your overall budget is going to look like, and if you have had family make any like, you know, indication that they might be wanting to, you know, assist with your budget in any way, try and have those conversations early. I know it's uncomfortable and it's like kind of a weird place to be like, hi, so you said you want to give me money. How much money? But it is, yeah, it is really helpful to try and get a good idea of that on the front end. And then also just trying to think about like a general like month or time of year that you want to get married, I think is really helpful on the front end. Like we were just saying, like sometimes you don't have the exact options that you want at the church, and they, you know, this beautiful basilica is booked on the exact weekend that you are wanting. And that happens sometimes, and it's okay. And you'll end up loving wherever you get married. But trying to think through those pieces ahead of time is really helpful. And then from there, you know, looking at your church and venue, if you have any really specific overall like design that you have in mind, it's a great time to like start thinking about that and what can kind of align there. And then from there, just looking at what your personal priorities are. So like my now husband and I encourage all of our couples to do it as well. We like sat down and literally looked at like the different categories of vendors, and we literally listed them from like 1 to 10 or whatever it was, and outlined like what mattered to us, even, you know, beyond the mass. Like there are some gals who like live and breathe the florals, and they want to spend $10,000 on their florals, and they're fine with that, and they're happy with that, and they would rather do that than get a videographer. You know what? Fair. Like you are so allowed to do that. And that's something that I think is helpful to have that conversation early on and just make sure like you guys are envisioning the same kind of thing. Again, always just bringing it back to like, okay, this is our wedding. What do we want to, you know, what do we want to do? How do we want to approach this as a couple? And, you know, especially for brides like myself who were, you know, have had a Pinterest board for their wedding since they were like 12 years old. Taking a step back and like giving your, you know, future husband places to add his opinion as well is really important.
Yeah.
And I know it can be hard when he, you know, my example, I tell brides all the time is like, I really wanted the mismatched bridesmaid dresses. That was like starting to be a thing when we got married. My husband was like, no, I don't like that. It looks distracting to me. And like, I want to look back at our pictures and like have it. And I was like, you know what? Okay, fair. Like, I can accept that. Yeah. Okay. And so that's what we did. And everybody wore their beautiful, you know, dusty blue dresses and all matched and whatever. But like, that's, you know, those are the kind of things that are helpful to discuss the two of you together first, again, before you like, you know, broadcast to all of your best friends, like, okay, go start looking for a dress. It can be whatever you want. Like those kind of things.
Yeah, yeah. Totally. Totally. And I love that you shared that particular example because that shows just like love, right? Yeah. And docility and like reminding that, like reminding yourself that it's your husband's day as well. And he also gets a say. And that it is like loving of us to make those little sacrifices and find the calm. What do you feel like are some of the most common planning mistakes that you see brides make?
Yeah, I think generally the whole DIY concept is a troublesome spot. Myself and Bernadette, who works with me, we both got married like very soon out of college, didn't have a ton of money. We so get it. But there are certain areas that DIY works well and others that don't. So we always say like, if you want to do anything DIY, try and do it something that is like you can do a month-ish before your wedding. We don't want something like time sensitive that's coming up with the DIY things. So like, you know, one of those mistakes being I've had some seen first and, you know, first and foremost, some gals who like want to do their own florals. And then I come in on wedding day and they're like, yeah, so I was up until 4 a.m. making bridesmaid bouquets and like I'm exhausted and I like can't see straight and I have a headache and like all these things. And you're like, okay, so when we look at all of everything that's now happened, like looking back, even just for me, like as I, you know, advise other couples, I'm like, okay, looking back at this, my girl now has a headache. She had, you know, 3 hours of sleep before she had to wake up and do hair and makeup. She has to be up all day, like, you know, on her princess mode, greeting everyone, being the happiest gal in the world, which I'm sure, you know, she still is. But you're looking at all of that.
But you're exhausted.
You're exhausted.
Let's just talk about that. That is something no one ever told me before my wedding day. Nobody talks about it enough. I was exhausted on my wedding day. And like, I'm like definitely out extrovert, like social butterfly, life of the party girl. I was so excited to just dance all night. But literally like at the reception, I think at like 7 p.m. I went up to train. I'm like, how much longer do we have? And he's like, we've got a wild girl. Like, you got to take, you know, get another drink, get some food in you, like, get on the dance floor. And I was like, wow, I'm like exhausted. Truly.
And that's one of the things that I like tell brides all the time is like, in the morning, I will be bothering you to drink water and to eat food. And if I'm not physically there, I need you to assign a bridesmaid, someone who's in the room with you, to literally be like force feeding you food, because I know it's exciting and you have butterflies and you're like, no, I'm good, I don't need to eat. But then like a lot of brides have a 2 o'clock mass time, which is already like, do I have lunch before? Like, what do I do with this? Then by the time it's done, you take photos, it's like 4 p.m. and you're going to start at your venue.
Or starve.
And you're starving and you then have a migraine and like don't want to drink. And like, oh, you know, it raffles into so many other things. And it's a long day. Like so many girls get up at 6 a.m. to start hair and makeup. And then want to go to their after party until 1 a.m. or whatever time. And I'm like, you've been up for hours, my dear. Like, at least go sit for a second and like take a breather. And that's something I tell couples a lot too. Yeah. Is like build in some spots for yourself throughout the wedding day to like just escape, whether it's by yourself or if it's, you know, with your new spouse. I tend to recommend it with your new husband. But like go sit for a second and like drink some water and like breathe. And that really helps you to, one, kind of like reset, but also just like remember your wedding day instead of just like going from one thing to another and you like never really have a time to like stop and just like enjoy the day. Building in some like buffer time and, you know, making some intentional places for you to like take a break makes such a difference. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Totally. So back to the DIY, besides florals, is there anything else that you feel like is a popular one that you're like, ah, this one's always kind of troublesome?
Yeah. As much as we love it, having family members contribute to kind of like vendor categories tends to be a little difficult. Sure. A lot of times we see that with florals as well, but like sometimes we'll have like Aunt Sally wants to make the cake and then, you know, like, some uncle is like, yeah, you can just hop in my car and I'll be your chauffeur for the day. And like those kind of things, sometimes they work out. A lot of other times they don't work out. So you have to think about like kind of who you're dealing with in that. You know your loved ones best, but that's something that, you know, we tell couples a lot is like, you don't have a contract with this person. As much as you can articulate to them, like, I want X, Y, and Z, like they kind of get to do whatever they want. Like there's nothing. And as much as I'm sure they want to do what you want, they want the best for you. Sometimes you telling Aunt Sally that you want white and green flowers turns into like, you know, like 10% white totally different and 90% green when you mend it the other way around. So just be cautious of it. We love all of your loved ones and all of your guests. But that's the other main piece is like, you know, not doing DIYs that are time sensitive and going to keep you up till 3 a.m. the night before. But then also just being happily cautious with family members and loved ones, guests, whoever it might be that want to help but aren't necessarily like contractually, you know, supported, or it's something that they don't actually do for like a living. Like, you know, anybody can make a cake. Like I can technically make a cake. Do you want me to make your wedding cake? Heck no. But I could, you know what I mean?
Totally. No, yeah, that makes sense. And put very lovingly, but also very like, look, like I have seen this fall through multiple times. So just like your professional advice, I would take it. Absolutely. And this kind of leads into the next question I had when it comes to like navigating family opinions, especially when parents are helping to pay for the wedding or maybe have strong preferences. I know it can get hard there because you feel an obligation to do everything your parents want since they're paying for it or helping in some way. But it's at the end of the day, your day, right? Like what advice do you have for brides who are experiencing this?
Yeah, I think one big thing we say in wedding world is that money equals decision-making ability. So basically if you want, you know, if your mom wants 10 of her best friends invited to the wedding, but she's giving you a couple $1,000s, kind of offsets that. And you're like, you know what? Well, that's not the craziest request then. So trying to just like take that perspective. A lot of times it is also hard if people aren't giving you money, but they still want to give opinions. And you're like, okay, well, you want 10 friends, but that's an extra, like you have no idea how much more money that is. That's $150 a head just for food. plus another table centerpiece. Yeah. Like, all, you're like, honey, this is thousands of dollars now to have your 10 besties here. So just trying to think through that. And I think illustrating that to parents or family members is helpful too, just to kind of outline like, okay, I totally get, you know, where you're coming from, what your opinion is. You're trying to lovingly give me advice, whatever it might be. But like, this is how we're seeing it. And this is like either the cost associated with that, or like, this is kind of like just sharing your point of view with it. I think to kind of offset that and welcome family help, but try and keep a little bit of a line there. We were talking about like making priorities earlier on. And I think that that's somewhere where you go to the bottom of the list of priorities and you see like, okay, what things do I not really care that much about? If you don't really care about your table numbers, that's a great place for you to bring in grandma and have her help you like DIY your table numbers. If she doesn't, you know, if that's something that she's able to give a little opinion on, help you out in doing, like spend time together, go for it. Like, let people be involved. I think it's a hard balance between the two. And that's something we talk about a lot as well, is like, you want to naturally, you know, have your family involved. You want their opinions, but then like it crosses into like a little bit too much. And okay, hold on. We gotta reel it in here. Gotta backtrack. And ultimately, like we were talking about earlier too, this is practice for you guys starting your own family and like having to kind of like, you know, make a line and be like, okay, well, we're willing to do this, but like, this is where the line stops.
Right.
And it's good practice in that. It's uncomfortable, but it's good practice in that. And then also, you know, just trying to keep in mind that they, most of the times, I can't say always, but most of the time, they're just trying to help and they really do like love you and want the best for you. And they're just trying to like, you know, be a part of this really exciting experience for you. So it's another one where like, it's helpful to just kind of zoom out for a second, reset and be like, okay, what are we really like aiming for here? If they're just wanting to be involved and help, like find a place for them to be involved and help. So those are kind of, you know, the base thoughts there. But yeah, it is it's a challenging topic and it's a challenge for everyone. So if you're in the midst of that, like know that it's not just you. It's not just your mom or future mother-in-law or whoever it might be. Yeah.
Totally. Bringing it back to priorities, I remember it totally just like brought me back to wedding planning. And I remember like we made a list of our, I think like top three things that most important to us. And then we asked our parents because they split our wedding costs, which was such a gift. And so then we asked our parents, like, what are the top three things that you would want to prioritize? And then we kind of put those together and we got to make the ultimate decision. But we were able to see like, okay, like for example, like us, like right out of college, like we did not care about the food, which is hilarious because if I were to get married now, I would absolutely care about having like an exquisite meal. I care so much more about like food now than I did as a 22-year-old. But we were like, we could have pasta from Olive Garden for all I care. Yeah. You know, Trey was like, I'd be happy with tacos. And our parents were like, absolutely not. Like food is like the number one priority that we have. And so we were able to kind of like work with our budget and be like, okay, our top priority is video and photo and having a great dance party. And then mine was florals, but then it was like also food was really important. And so we're like, okay, we're going to try and save money in different areas on florals so that we can have a nicer dinner. And so I made my bridesmaids bouquets a little bit smaller. And that saved some money. And we put that towards the food department. So it was about like honoring both priorities, especially if they're helping you pay for the wedding, but then also just kind of reworking the budget together and both sides knowing each other's priorities. So you can kind of make those decisions together. And there's like a mutual compromise of like how we're spending the money and like where everything is going to go.
Definitely.
So
yeah.
It just reminded me of that, if that's helpful that's to awesome. Anybody. One of the last questions I want to ask is, what's one detail that you feel like makes a noticeable difference in how the wedding day actually feels for the couple?
I think having a really well-built timeline is like lifesaver of the day. Whether it's that you have an outside coordinator like myself come in and help you with that and is the one kind of like directing it, or even if you just like build out a good timeline yourselves, I think it's really helpful to just have everything written down and share that with people so that they know like where to be when. One of the things that we talk a lot about with our couples and like with bridesmaids and groomsmen is like they need to know what time they're expected to be getting dressed because the photographer's coming over. And like if the girls are still in their PJs, they're going to feel uncomfortable or whatever that might be. Like just articulating that well. And then within that timeline, if you don't have a professional that's like helping you in that process, my, you know, word to everyone is just to make sure that you have buffer time in there. My lead example is like, yes, at home, it might take you 5 minutes to hop into a dress. If you're putting on a wedding dress, we need a good 20 minutes, like at least, because you're going to realize, oh, I need to go to the bathroom before I get in. Oh, I have 400 buttons that I need to put on with a crochet hook thing that is going to take a while. Like there's a lot more pieces there. Everyone wants your attention. They're so excited for you. But like you need to make sure that you have time to do these things and not be like incredibly rushed. That's something that is actually another one of those like mistakes that we see a lot from couples who DIY their weddings or don't have coordinators or whoever that might be. If they, you know, feel like their morning got off track and they're like running really behind, it's hard to catch up and like go and be relaxed again. So that's something that, you know, we do little like consult calls with couples a lot for people who might not have the budget to have a full service like planner or coordinator. And so I work with women all the time to like make their full timeline. And that's one of the things I always articulate to them is like, I'm putting extra time in here because I want you to have a nice morning and I don't want you to be stressed and I don't want you to have to feel like you're trying to like play catch up. And then especially, you know, in the morning, if you're getting ready, getting out the door, getting to mass, like you think about the days where you are running a little late to mass on like a Sunday and then you get in your pew and your brain is still like fuzzy and zooming around and you like it takes you half of mass to like really rein it in and be present. We really don't want that happening on your wedding day. Like I want you to be able to like take a really deep breath and like soak it all in and, you know, really appreciate those moments before you walk down the aisle and like be fully present for all of that. And again, just like helping to remember your wedding day. It does go really fast, but those are the things that we can implement so that you remember your wedding day better. You know, taking your time and having that buffer room is something that's just like incredibly, incredibly helpful. And then I know you said one, but my other thing I have to add is we see couples a lot of time at the reception pulled in different directions, talking to family or loved ones or whoever that might be, or you get separated on the dance floor or something like that. I really, really, really emphasize to all of our couples that you need to stay together at your reception. And it can be hard. And I know me saying it sounds like, oh, well, we just got married. We're of course going to stay together. But like when, you know, a loved one from this table eight all the way in the other corner of the room wants to pull your new husband away because they have to tell them this thing they just thought of from when they were 4 years old, whatever that might be, it happens all the time. And you don't realize it in the moment, but you're trying to be respectful and you know, you are like, oh yeah, let me give you my attention. But try your very, very hardest to stay together. And if you realize that you got separated, make it a top priority to make your way back to your brand new spouse so that you can experience the day together, because it does make a huge difference. So those are my two pieces. Yeah.
I love that. I saw a creator on Instagram post something similar recently about her, the rehearsal dinner. Maybe it was actually the day of the wedding too. Either one of those. Yeah, she posted a reel where it was like, when they said stay together, we took it really seriously. And they told each other, I think it was their rehearsal dinner, that they were going to hold hands like the whole night so that they would make sure that they like don't like get pulled away. And so when they weren't like sitting down or eating, like if they were standing up, even if they were talking to a guest or something, they were holding hands. And it was just like this beautiful physical reminder of just like, we're together. This is our day. Like you feel that affection towards each other. And also like we literally can't get pulled away without the other one coming with me. So like, we're not being separated. Totally. And it was really
beautiful. I love that. That's great.
So why do you feel like having a wedding planner really makes a difference?
So obviously I'm a big fan. I like to tell people too that I'm a wedding planner who had my own wedding coordinator. Like I believe in it so deeply that even planning my own wedding, I had another gal come in and do all of the stuff day of. Okay. And in, even in those last like couple weeks leading up, because you want to be able to be fully present and not have to think about anything. Like there are so many things that come up on a wedding day. The list is monumental of all the things that come up that you don't want to have to be like troubleshooting. And so that's what my job is, what any wedding planner or coordinator should be doing at least, is they should be trying to handle these problems before you even realize that they come up. So like if a bridesmaid's button just broke off the back of her dress, like we're in there with a needle and thread fixing it before she can have a tear stream down her face. Like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, there's so much we try really hard to make exact timelines. But regardless, you know, if you have, you think about like five friends trying to get out the door to go to dinner together, something happens every time and you end up a little off track. Like somebody forgot their phone inside or, you know, they have to go grab this or that or, you know, there's always something that comes up. So if you're, you know, trying to wrangle 100 guests who've been enjoying themselves, a lot of times have been drinking and like the slightest alcohol gets adults like paying attention is, oh my goodness, it's like, you know, herding cats. But that's something that, you know, I want to be able to do and focus on for you so that you can just like go from point A to point B and not have to think about it. And you can be really fully present with your new spouse. And also a lot of times the coordination role or like the decor setup role gets passed off to family members or friends. And that's something that I totally understand and can support from, you know, from a distance. If you have friends who like aren't in your wedding party and want to help you, by all means, go for it. But we don't want to see your parents helping you like set up your card box at your reception. Like, I just don't want to see that happen for them. Like, please find anyone else to do that task. But they should be able to be present and really enjoy your wedding day too. And I think that that's something that, you know, we alleviate a lot of that responsibility and that stress for couples, for their families, for their guests. Like, having a point person who's in charge of everything and knows everything that's going on is so valuable, even just to have like a lead person if a question comes up, if something like goes awry, when your bustle breaks and I have, you know, 97 safety pins in my bag and could come bring you, like those are the kind of things that we are happy to take care of.
You're ready.
Yeah, exactly. You're not like trying to find a Band-Aid because your blister from your heels that you've never worn is like killing you, those kind of things. So making it so that, you know, brides and grooms can just like be present and enjoy the day and truly not have to think is like my number one goal.
I love it. I love it. That is so helpful. You've been so helpful today in this conversation. Thank you for giving us just the insider opinion and the inside scoop on how the wedding world really works and all the advice that you gave brides-to-be. I'm sure they're walking away with a lot of notes. Where can they find more of you or work with you? How can we get in touch?
Yeah, so all things for Cana Wedding Co. are literally all like Instagram is at Cana Wedding Co. Website is canaweddingco.com, all that good stuff. So feel free to send us inquiry messages through our website. Like I was saying, we do like full planning, partial planning, coordination, and we do consults as well for anybody who like isn't local. We do travel weddings occasionally as well. So feel free to send like any thoughts, questions my way. And I'm always happy to direct you to the right place and be of any help that we can. And feel free to send DMs and all the things. But yeah, that's where we are.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much. We'll make sure to drop all that information down in the show notes so you guys can get in touch with Avery or just learn more as you're getting ready to plan your wedding and know that we'll be praying for you and cheering you on from afar. Marriage is just so beautiful. And this time is so, so special. So praying for all you brides to be out there. Thank you, Avery, for joining us today. Such a fun conversation. So good having you on the podcast.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for listening in. If you've enjoyed this episode, please share it with your friends and on social media and give me a 5-star rating on whatever podcast platform you're listening on. That helps me and the show out so much. Also, make sure to follow the podcast on Instagram at EverBePodcast. And if you want more content like this and you don't already follow me, you can also follow me on Instagram at mari.c.wagner. And may his praise ever be on our lips. God bless.